Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. If you have your Bible there, turn it this morning to Ephesians 4, and we're going to start in verse 11, and we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, a very important subject for the body of Christ. It's an important subject because through the gifts that God has given us, we can have power to defeat the enemy, we can have power to engage the enemy, and not just be running from the enemy and not just scared of the enemy or in a defensive position regarding the enemy, but we can actually take the offensive and we can destroy the enemy wherever he rears his ugly head in our life, in the lives of our children, the lives of our family. And so in Ephesians 4, Paul is talking to the Christians at Ephesus, and he tells them basically the layout for the office gifts. This is the structure, the backbone, the skeleton, you might say, of the gifts of the Holy Spirit for the body of Christ. And he says in Ephesians 4:11, "And he, Jesus, gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, and some as teachers." And so these are considered to be the office gifts. These are the ordinations of God given to man. They don't come from man to man. They come from God given to man. If you'll notice, when Paul writes his letters to the Ephesians, to the Philippians, to the Colossians, he starts every letter, to the Corinthians, he starts every letter, "I, Paul, an apostle, not given by man, but under the authority and the conviction given to me, or the authorization given to me by Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior." And so Paul understands that his ordination came from none other than Jesus Christ, and he didn't owe man his thanks or his gratitude for giving him these gifts. He owed it to Jesus Christ. He didn't receive that revelation from man. He received it from Jesus. And so Paul is firm in his understanding of the gifts. He's totally accurate and convinced in his understanding of the gifts that God gives these gifts for a certain reason, to enhance and to build up and to empower the body of Christ. And if you're a believer out there today, brothers and sisters, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it will enhance your walk with the Lord. It will behoove you to come to an understanding of the gifts. And you may say, "Well, what do I need that for? What's the purpose of all that? I go to church every Sunday, and you know, I look at the scriptures on my Facebook page and all this kind of stuff." And yet, many Christians live a defeated life. Many Christians are walking in defeat. They're harassed by the enemy. They're battling addictions all the time. They're battling word curses spoken over them by other people. They don't have the strength to stand up to curses spoken against them by unbelievers. And so we many times lead a weak and a life as a Christian that is not full of power. It's not full of the power of the Holy Spirit. And God wants to change that in your life today. So if you are a believer today, if you accepted Jesus and you confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you want to know how you can enhance your walk, how you can embolden your walk and come before the devil, come before your enemies with boldness and take him down, then you need to pay attention today, because through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you can be empowered to walk in a walk of power. And so that is God's will for your life. That is why the gifts were given. It is so that we cannot have to settle for a lukewarm or a milquetoast variety type of Christianity, that we can actually move forward in power and deal with the enemy in power. And God wants you, brothers and sisters, He has a calling on your life. He wants you to move forward into your calling. He wants you to move forward into your destiny. He wants you to move the kingdom of God forward. It's not just about you and your little life here on this earth. God wants His kingdom to move forward with power, and His kingdom to prevail here in America, and His kingdom to prevail here in this city and in your family. And so when you move forward in power, then His kingdom also is moving forward. You can imagine, if you would, 200 million people in America, or 250 million people here in America who claim to be Christian, if they were really moving forward in power in the life that they live, if they were really moving forward and propelling the kingdom of God forward, this country would be a much different country. We wouldn't be in the mess we were in, where people are picking up guns and shooting each other all over the place, and there's all kinds of lies and deceit in the government and in business and in every other aspect of life here in America. We would be in a different situation. And so that's God's will, that this kingdom of His move forward with power here in this country. Well, Paul goes on to say in Ephesians 4, verse 12, that what is the purpose of these office gifts that were ordained by God? He says, it's for the equipping of the saints, number one, for the work of service, number two, for the building up of the body of Christ, that's number three, until we all attain to the unity of faith, that's number four. And God's will is that we are in unity in the body of Christ, that we are moving forward together, just as a good army moves forward in unity, because they've all been trained to take orders and they've all been trained to step out and move out at the same time. And so they move forward in unity, that's number four. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, that's number five. God doesn't want us to be ignorant about Him. Paul starts off 1 Corinthians 12. He says, I don't want you to be unaware or to be ignorant of the spiritual gifts. That's the way he starts out chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, I do not want you, brethren, to be unaware or ignorant of the spiritual gifts. And so God wants us to have a deep, intimate knowledge of Him. The knowledge of the Son of God, that's number five. To a mature man, that's number six. God wants us to mature in our walk. And some of you have been believers for many years, but you haven't really matured in your walk. You've matured in age in the natural. You keep celebrating your birthday year after year, but you haven't really matured in your walk with the Lord. You're not seeking the deep things of the Lord. You're not asking the Lord to show you and reveal the deep mysteries of the kingdom. And so therefore, you're satisfied where you are. You don't move forward in your walk. You have a kind of what you'd say a Sunday Christianity, where you go to church on Sunday and then you go home and it's just business as usual the rest of the week. And God says, I want to break that pattern. And maybe some of you haven't even got to the point where you go to church on Sunday. Maybe you just consider yourself a homebody Christian, or a Christian that you really aren't making any kind of testimony about your Christian faith. Other people wouldn't even know for sure if you are a Christian. If you interviewed your friends, they wouldn't even know, because you live a compromised life. You live a life that is not boldly outspoken for Christianity and for Jesus Christ. And so you live a defeated, lukewarm kind of a Christian existence. God says, I want to break that as well. I want to get you in the body of Christ. I want to get you moving into your destiny. I want to propel you and the kingdom into the place where I called you to be. And so that is number six, is that we mature just as we mature chronologically in our natural man. God wants us to mature as a Christian and to keep seeking the deeper things of the kingdom of God, to keep seeking the mysteries, to keep seeking the spiritual gifts, those things which he says, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:1, he says, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. And so it is God's will that we desire to move forward in power. It is God's will that his kingdom move forward in power. And without any knowledge of God, without maturing as a man in the kingdom, without our spirit man maturing in the kingdom, we can't move forward and propel the kingdom of God forward in our life. And then verse 7, it kind of wraps up these reasons why God gave the gifts. Number 7 in verse 13, it says, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And so God measures our life not by the lowest common denominator, not by all of the failures that we have in our life, not by all the ways that we've stumbled in our life and all the ways that we've let Him down and failed our friends and our family. That's not how He measures our life. He measures us against the stature which belongs to the fullness of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29 says that those that God foreknew, He predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so when God sees us, He measures us against His Son, Jesus Christ. And especially those of you who call yourself born-again believers, who call yourself Christians, your Christian walk isn't measured against other baby believers. It's not measured against the pagans. Your Christian walk is measured against the fullness of the stature of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And so when God sees you, you're covered by the blood of Jesus. When God sees you, your sins have been forgiven because Jesus died for you on the cross. He shed His precious blood for you so that you could move forward in the kingdom, so that you can also have eternal life with Jesus and with God, but also that you can move forward into your destiny. And as you move forward, so does the kingdom of God move forward in this life that you walk here on this earth. And then Paul goes on to elaborate in verse 14 of Ephesians 4. He says, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him, into Jesus, who is the head, even Christ. And so Paul says, come out of your children, come out, children, and don't be swayed by every little wind of doctrine. Every time somebody gets up on the TV and speaks some different kind of doctrine, or your neighbors are talking about something different at the coffee shop or whatever, God says, I want you to mature and come to know Me in all aspects, know about Jesus Christ in all aspects of your life, that you can measure your life against Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who is the head of the body of Christ. And I just want to encourage each and every one of you out there listening today, if you don't have a church home, don't let this radio broadcast or some TV broadcast, the Crystal Cathedral or T.D. Jakes or whoever it is, don't let that be your church home. It's okay, and I encourage you to take in all the teaching that you can on the radio and the TV and in other ways, CDs, tapes, whatever. I encourage you, take in all the teaching that you can, but don't let that be your church home. God encourages us to gather together as the end days draw near, and He encourages us to be in the body of Christ, to be a part of the body of Christ. He encourages us to walk together so that we can encourage each other. And there's nothing, brothers and sisters, like the body of Christ about looking each other in the eye and say, how are you doing? Or can I pray for you today? How can I encourage you today? How can I help you strengthen your walk today? And you can't do that through the radio. You can't do that through the TV. And so I want you to find a Bible-believing church, one that preaches and teaches out of the Word of God, and get in that church and commit yourself to being there every Sunday, if at all possible. Commit yourself to some type of ministry in the church. Commit yourself to helping out, to serving in the body of Christ, not only inside the church, but many, many churches. Most churches have outreaches outside the church, and so God's will is that you reach out outside the church, prison ministry, all kinds of youth ministries, all kinds of ministries to the hurting and the lost. And so if you would do that, just get involved and get in a church and commit yourself to being there, you will see your Christian walk move forward in great strength and in great power. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about the gifts in a broad general sense before he goes into the specific nature of the gifts themselves, or the specific gifts themselves. He says in verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord, and there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit, that is, of the Holy Spirit, for the common good. And so God distributes through the Holy Spirit the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That is, those gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 are given for the internal working, or the internal powering of the individual members of the body of Christ. They're more inwardly focused, you might say, to empower the individual believers. They're more inwardly focused to the church, to the inward workings of the church, so that the church is empowered, so that when the church goes out, when the church looks out and starts to minister to the outside world, where they're going to meet lots of persecution, where they're going to meet lots of the devil's torment and harassment and oppression, that when the church goes out to minister in those situations, that the church, the body of Christ, is empowered then to minister in those places with power and with the effects of the Holy Spirit and with the Lord God Almighty and Jesus Christ himself. Because the devil is a worthy enemy. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:12, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but our battle is against powers and principalities, rulers of darkness, and spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so our battle is in the unseen realm. It may seem that your battle is with some person in the fleshly realm, in the natural realm, but believe me, brothers and sisters, the real battle is taking place in the spiritual realm, in the heavenly places. And when you take authority over the principalities and powers over whole regions and over whole countries, and say over the whole prison or institution such as that, you really have a battle on your hands, and you need the power, you need the fullness of the head, Jesus Christ. You need to grow up and be mature in all aspects into him, or you're going to lose that battle. You're not going to win the battle. You're not going to walk away from those encounters, whether it's just with some person in your life that's harassing you, or if it's power or principality over a whole city. You're going to lose that battle if you don't have the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, and you're not walking in all aspects of him who is the head, even Jesus Christ. And Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as the Spirit wills. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. In other words, Paul is saying that the Holy Spirit distributes. The Holy Spirit is the dispenser. It's the avenue through which the gifts of the Holy Spirit come. But they come down from God. They come down from Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit then distributes or manifests. And the Holy Spirit is the third body, the third person of the Trinity, the third person of the Godhead. And so Paul says, because the body has many members, all of the members are valuable, all of the members are important, all of the members have a certain job to do, just like in a football team. You've got a kicker, and you've got a defensive specialist that comes on, you've got offensive players, you have the quarterback, and they all are important. They all have their job to do. They all have an aspect that plays into the overall game plan, and without each one of them contributing and each one of them doing their job, the team will not be victorious. And so Paul says, we are many members, but we are one. When we are taken together, we are one body, the body of Christ. When we are taken together, we function as one body. Verse 13 in 1 Corinthians 12, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. But it's many members, and the many members coordinate and work together and function together as the body of Christ. Well, it's a beautiful scene to see the body of Christ working together. It's a beautiful organism. I guess you'd say it's not an organization, it's an organism. There's nothing like it anywhere on the earth. There's nothing like it that compares to it. It's not a club. It's not really anything that you can be a member of, although churches do have membership roles. But it's through your faith and your confession in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior that you come to become a part of the body of Christ. And God wants you to function not only individually but corporately in the body of Christ, and he wants the body of Christ to be empowered by you as an individual. He wants you to help empower the body of Christ so that the kingdom of God can move forward on this earth. Well, again, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this message has been an appropriate one for you to empower you. And if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to confess Him. You need to say, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I confess my sins. I repent of my sins. Lord, forgive me of my sins. And as you do that, as you cry out to the Lord for forgiveness and repentance, God will see to it that the Holy Spirit touches your heart. God will see to it that you are set free of your sickness, of your infirmity, of your oppression, of your harassment by the enemy, and God will set your feet on a firm foundation, and He will move you forward into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ, the head. Well, I will go into the individual gifts in more detail next week from 1 Corinthians 12, and so we'll take a look at that. And I thank you for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week, and tune in again next week.